Jim Kennedy and Dr. Ari Grayson on KX
93.5. Good morning, Laguna. This is Laguna Roundtable with your host, Righty Jim, and
Dr. Ari Grayson.
Good morning, Dr. Ari. How are you doing on this fine summer Sunday, which happens to also be Father's Day?
Happy Father's Day to everyone out there. And so many of you are going to be converging on Laguna Beach today, no doubt. It seems as though the unseasonably warm weather is bringing in the crowds already. We're starting to see summer festival level traffic in our community.
Unseasonably warm. It is June 18th, or a day or two from the summer solstice and the longest day of the year. How is this not representative of the weather that we should be having in, shall we say, summertime?
It's summertime in the rest of the world, but Laguna Beach is its own wonderfully perfect microclimate. We usually get our June gloom, as so many locals refer to it.
Which we had this morning.
Yes, we do. We have a nice overcast morning today, but our high temperatures are generally hovering around 68 to 70. And it's anticipated that the high today is going to be closer to 80 degrees, 78 to 79.
Well, definitely later in the week, yes. We have a heat wave coming up, and it will be warmer in the rest of the week coming up. But
It's brutal. Last night we were out with some friends, and we wanted to sit out on the patio, and it was a little bit too cool to actually sit outside.
You had to take your sweaters off?
No.
You had to put your sweaters on.
We had to put our sweaters on. A little bit on the chilly side, let's just say, but really beautiful. Everybody else in the country is envious of not only the natural beauty that we have here in Laguna Beach, but the perfect weather almost all year round.
Yes, you really have nothing to complain about here. Absolutely.
Not at all.
Absolutely zilch. Other than the fact that they want to spend, $700,000 to redo the bathroom at Main Beach, which no one can figure out how they're going to spend $700,000 on it.
I haven't seen that proposal, but that seems absurd, having been through the facilities there. There are new facilities at Main Beach.
Well, yeah, they want to fix, I guess it leaks though sometimes, and they don't want to fix the showers or something, put in low-flow shower heads or something, don't know. But someone wrote about it in the, letter to the editor, and it was, they're complaining about the $700,000, and evidently PDIG's office wanted like $1.2 million to do it. So it was like, yeah, you can't quite understand where the heck that was all supposed to go. But we'll take a look.
That would seem somewhat absurd. That doesn't seem to be it seems like we need to get some competitive bids in there, let's just say. We need to be mindful of the taxpayer dollars here in Laguna Beach, and you know that's going to come out of somebody's parking tickets.
Speaking of parking tickets, yes, I'd like to complain about the parking tickets. I got my refund back from the state of California, minus $77 that went to the city of Laguna for a parking ticket from 4 years ago.
So they were able to deduct out of your tax return?
My tax refund, not my DMV fees, which I could understand possibly they could hold up my DMV fees for that. But my tax return comes back with a $77 deduction for the city of Laguna for a parking ticket, which I paid 4 years ago. So, of course, I don't have the proof of paying a ticket 4 years ago. My bank account's been closed. But, yeah, I was a tad bit perturbed. What exactly is the state of California Board of Equalization doing playing tax collector for the city of Laguna's parking tickets?
Yeah, this seems really, really inappropriate, let's just say.
And
especially
if
it's only 4 years old.
If you think the IRS is bad to deal with, the Board of Equalization makes them look like, you know, makes them look like the candy stripers. The Board of Equalization has no parallel when it comes to dealing as far as lack of communication and randomness of actions with no explanation or ability to appeal or discuss it with them. It's just forget and hope and be thankful they didn't take more out of it and just walk away, because they do not respond. They made errors on mine before, where they tried to seize my bank account one time, and they finally went away but would not apologize nor pay for any of the damage they caused for being wrong. Nor would they ever admit they were wrong, even though they dropped it because they had no cause. But so be it. We weren't here to rant about various government agencies. But again,
what are we here to rant about?
We need smaller government, and we need to get rid of Jerry Brown. and I applaud, by the way.
I like how you tied that up in a nice, neat bundle.
Well,
so thank you for that.
It all comes back to Governor Moonbeam 2.0. And I applaud the efforts of a fellow station on the air, John and Ken, who are trying to recall the state senator up in the Yorba Linda area, who...
from the 39th District, Josh Newman.
Yes, Josh Newman, yes. To basically reduce the Democratic's two-thirds hold and hopefully try to do something to repeal the car tax that nobody wants in California.
Well, apparently our legislative officials do want the tax. It was passed by two-thirds of our state Senate. I'm actually been in communication with Josh Newman, and hopefully we're going to get him in here in our studio live
one day. Oh, I'd love to
have
him in here. I'd love to have a little chat with Josh.
Our Senate is still in session until, I believe, sometime in mid-July, but I've been working back and forth with his staff, and hopefully we'll have him in here. I find it quite interesting, since we're on the topic of Josh Newman and the recall, that the man had the audacity to not only run as a Democrat in 2016 for the state Senate.
Well, that's fine.
He voted with the Democrats on this legislative issue. AB1,
yes.
I believe it was, the transportation
SB1,
tax.
Yes.
SB1.
Yeah, but not important.
And in any case, he had the actual audacity to vote as a Democrat. So the Republicans are trying to recall him. They couldn't defeat him in the general election, so now they're trying to defeat him or take him out. They think somehow that he's a weak link because he doesn't have the name recognition of a long-term incumbent having been elected for the first time.
It's a district that's like a 49-51 district in
right.
it. Whoever turned the people out won. It's been somewhat a traditionally Republican district, but I guess that's maybe a little bit more of an overstatement. It's been really kind of a flip-flop district. And there was a Republican in there who lost, and he was basically...
Well, Kim Young.
Yes, and he was the flip-flop, or he was the vote. And evidently, the district is not pleased with the car tax, as a majority of people, from my understanding. I believe it's only got 39% approval amongst the voters in California. So it wasn't something that... I mean, do you know of anybody who ran on the fact that they were going to do this? I don't think anyone ran on this
proposal,
because I think this is something that really came out of Jerry Brown's office rather than... any particular legislator who put this forward.
Right.
So I think this came out of the Brown office, Jerry Brown, Moonbeam's office, as governor to fund this. This was his initiative. So this really wasn't something that people said, hi, I'm going to be voting on this. Do you want to elect me knowing that I'm going to be supporting this bill? So,
well, but I think the reality is that we do need to make sure that we've got the infrastructure necessary for transportation and movement around our state.
That's why we have a gas tax. That's why we've got an endowment,
yes,
which has been stolen
by
the state of California because they're playing budget games.
But that is precisely why we have a gasoline tax. And over the last 20 years, we've seen automobile efficiencies increase dramatically. We've seen the proliferation of hybrids and electric vehicles on our roads. And the gasoline tax is specifically targeted to increase the tax base so that we can rebuild our infrastructure. There's a $100 roughly annual tax, which is going to be placed on electric vehicles, which don't purchase gasolines. But a 2-ton vehicle on the road, whether it's electric or whether it's a internal combustion vehicle, is still causing the same amount of wear and tear on our roads. And we need to rebuild them. So, I don't object to the gasoline tax. What I object to is trying to change the outcome of an election that couldn't be won at the ballot box.
Work for Gray Davis, so why not work for a state senator? But if we get him in, we can continue that line. We've got other things to talk about.
Absolutely.
This morning.
It's been a busy week, hasn't it?
We can talk about now, that was interesting because you gave me six topics.
Okay.
Two of those were fake news topics.
Which ones?
Well, you tell me which one you think's for fake news.
In my mind, none of them. So,
well, that's because your mind buys into fake news.
Okay.
One of them was that Trump is being investigated. We do not know that. Robert Mueller may be investigating Trump. He may not be.
Trump said that he was being investigated. He claimed that this was, that this was a witch hunt.
I don't know why Trump would actually even know that, because Mueller shouldn't, unless Mueller says, hi, I'm investigating you, please come in and visit me. Outside of that, the second one was...
Well, then why is Mr. Trump shooting off his mouth if his brain's not loaded? If he doesn't know that, if he doesn't have the information to support the fact that
he's Trump!
Being...
He does it all the time!
But you know what? The man is commander-in-chief. I'm so tired of the excuse
He's not shooting off missiles.
He's Donald Trump. What do you expect? He's going to say stupid stuff that
Trumpian.
Has no basis in reality.
Well, that's the point. When it's a Democrat state senator that's trying to be recalled, it's a problem. When you're trying to pull a president off of his throne, then it's an okay thing when it's a Republican president. You want Mueller to basically get rid of Trump.
There's a substantial difference between voting with the two-thirds
majority. Yes, one's
majority,
a Democrat and one's a Republican.
No, with running as a Democrat, having a two-thirds majority in the Senate, voting as a Democrat, and then seeking to recall that person somehow as though there were professional malfeasance engaged, versus somebody who is being investigated for obstructing justice and subverting our Constitution. So, you know, these are not exactly an equivalency here. So to try and make
it's not appropriate. It's more than appropriate. All right. Okay. Let's start with, unfortunately, a bad news. Well, two sets of bad news. One, there was a U.S. Navy missile destroyer that ran into a Philippine cargo ship off the coast of Japan early Saturday morning, which would have been Friday afternoon here. Seven sailors were missing. Unfortunately, those sailors were found. They unfortunately were dead. They were in their bunk area and drowned when the ship took on water from the crash. So thoughts and prayers go out to the family of the seven Navy sailors that were unfortunately found dead in their bunking compartments. And secondly, Congressman Steve Scalise, who is the House Majority Whip, if I remember properly, was shot with a number of other people at a baseball practice by a Bernie Sanders supporter who was upset about the whole Trump election and had been riled up and decided to go to Washington and go shoot himself as some GOPs. He, in fact, one of the congressmen that had already finished his practice had run into the gentleman in the parking lot, and the guy wanted to know, are those Republicans or Democrats out there? And he said, well, it's the Republicans practicing. He goes, okay, thanks, and then proceeded to go out there and shoot a bunch of them. Dr. Ari, talk to me about the history of violence on the left.
Well, first of all, I think our hearts and prayers go out to Congressman Scalise, who my understanding is
and his family,
has sustained
yes.
Some very severe injuries.
Yes.
My understanding is that he was shot across his torso, going through his pelvic region, caused a lot of internal damage. There's a lot of vital organs in our lower frontal cavity. So, you know, this is very severe. My understanding is that he almost lost his life, but that he's doing significantly better. I don't know that he's not still in intensive care. But, you know, we wish him a speedy recovery, you know. But I think, you know, to your point here about, you know, the history of violence on the left, unfortunately, we live in a society where we have far too much access to guns, and somebody
it's a gun problem.
When we have these kinds of mental illnesses, well, you know, we saw this a couple of years ago when Gabrielle Giffords, the congresswoman from Tucson, Arizona, was shot in the head and suffered
neurological damage
to her brain. She still has obviously trouble speaking and moving and expressing herself. You know, this is a serious problem in our country. But what is also serious and what is also not fake news is that, you know, we have seen this violence time and time again. Rather than taking things to the ballot box and expressing ourselves as we are supposed to do in a clear, articulate manner when we don't agree with somebody, we have to make the case, we have to argue against that individual or those policies, and we are supposed to argue, not engage in violence. So, for example, a couple of years ago, I believe it was in 2009, there was the shooting of the abortion doctor in Wichita, Kansas, Dr. George Tiller. A man actually walked into Tiller's church and shot him dead for performing the legal act of abortion. So, you know, this is a problem that we see on both sides. So it's not appropriate, I don't believe, to say that, you know, somehow the left has gone off the rails here, that, you know,
well,
in a way that we don't
is.
See on both sides. You know, yeah, but, you know, we can go back and forth on this. We had the guy who walked into the church in South Carolina.
Right, but they're not hunting
about two or three years ago.
Right, but they're not hunting elected officials.
No, but they're
you're just trying to create a hyperbole between the two, and you don't really have
it. No, I don't think that it's a hyperbole necessarily between the two, but people take out these violent acts on persons of opposing viewpoints or opposing groups of some sort that are perceived to be different than ourselves. And that's where the real problem is.
No, he was just shooting them because they were Republicans, not because they were different.
That
was the difference, but they were Republicans.
That was the difference that he was able to make. That was the distinction that he made, was politically they're doing things that he finds so offensive.
And he just despised Trump, and he wanted Rachel Maddow to be president. So that doesn't tell you how far out on the nut farm he was.
Hey, once the mind is gone, you know, there's no telling where it, you know, what dark path it could take us down.
And again, thoughts and prayers to Scalise's family. We will talk about that a little bit later on.
But you know what? But I really don't want to let this issue go so quickly.
Well, we got
You know, one of the things that we're seeing, and this has been reported again and again by the Southern Poverty Law Center, is that,
a fairly objective group in it. Comes to figuring out who on the right they don't like, yes.
What we have seen over the last 2 years since Trump announced his election, which was 2 years ago this week, or his entry into the presidential race.
And by the way, how did you celebrate that? Did you have a cake or fireworks? Did you celebrate that day?
No, mostly we celebrate or we acknowledge the holiday with the tier of children who are going to lose their food programs at school. Acknowledge it with the tears of people who are going to lose their health care insurance. We acknowledge it in any number of ways. But what we have seen in the last
Dramatic.
2 years is, a huge increase in anti-Muslim hate crimes. They were surged by, they surged last year, and they were fueled by what is considered to be
what about
a very
the anti-Christian hate crimes from Muslims, like the guy that shot up the gay nightclub in Orlando? Or our friends out in San Bernardino who shot up the San Bernardino Center, or the Tenayev brothers who blew up the Boston Marathon. I'm pretty sure yes. that's a larger problem than it is.
Not necessarily, not according to the statistics by the Southern Poverty Law
they
Center
have
or
an
the
interesting
Anti-Defamation
way of
keeping
statistics
League.
Too.
What happened to them?
They used to actually be a fairly decent organization, but they've really gone off the rails for anybody that doesn't support the liberal line. Ben Carson was a hate criminal to them. Ben Carson. Seriously.
What the Southern Poverty
True
Law
or false,
Center
ben
does.
Ben Carson was a hate criminal to them.
I haven't seen that. You know, I will take that for whatever it's worth that you have your facts in order.
You can Google that.
Okay. Well, Googling it doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. But what the Southern Poverty Law Center does is collect data. They've also seen that, for example, in March of this year, Trump condemns attacks on Jews after suggesting that Jews are doing things that are meant to make him look bad.
You mean the guy whose son-in-law and daughter are Jewish, who just went to Israel and is supporting Netanyahu? You mean that guy, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So,
the same guy. You know what?
Same guy. Okay.
There are.
His grandson is Jewish.
There are behaviors that we see that come out of folks like Jared Kushner. We don't have the time really to get into it specifically, but I would suggest that there is a tremendous amount of hatred and anti-Islamism that comes out of.
You just said he was anti-Jewish. Now you're saying he's anti-Muslim.
There's plenty of room for both, and when you listen to the Trump, the statements that Trump has made, yeah, unfortunately, there is plenty of room for both. Even some of the things that Donald Trump has done that are supposed to be, or he believes to be in Israel's best interest, are actually very dangerous for Israel and the Jewish community.
True or false? Donald Trump has not shot any Democratic congressman. True or false?
Not that we're aware of.
The fact is true.
Although
not
Mr.
that
Trump,
we're aware of.
Although in Mr. Trump's
Good
words,
golly.
He believes he could shoot a gun down Fifth Avenue and kill somebody and that he would not lose support.
But they were probably not a Democratic congressman unless it was Anthony Weiner, which I'm sure both sides may not really be that upset about. But
what this administration has done is rather than reining in some of the worst and most hateful elements, whether it is on the right or whether it is on the left in this country, he has not made a concerted effort to bring that in, to ease tensions, to cross these belief systems and to cross the divides that we see in this country. What has Mr. Trump done in 5 months in his office to try and heal the wounds that his campaign inflicted. When you pretend that you don't know who a David Duke is, one of the most vociferous and one of the most vocal leaders of the KKK of the last generation, when you pretend you don't know who this man is, and you don't condemn him in the harshest of terms, then you are complicit in the outcomes and the behaviors that you
see. And this coming from the guy who supports the party that let Robert Byrd become the Senate Majority Leader. So you kind of don't got a lot of ground to stand on. So we will get back to the left's violence in the second half of the show. Let's talk a little bit again. Two of the fake news topics that you had.
Oh, okay.
Not more fake news, but new fake news.
Oh, okay. New and improved.
What is Trump under investigation for something? I don't know what.
Obstruction of justice.
And that Trump wants to fire Mueller.
Okay.
So from which of those, where did you get your sources for those? Would it be the New York Times, or would it be the Washington Post, or would it be ABC News, all of which were called out by Comey as saying that they had been lying about Trump being investigated by him for Russia connections, which turned out to be an absolute nothing burger, as you would say on your side? Was it one of those sources?
No, it would be a vegan burger, but...
Well, it's just a nothing burger, regardless of what the nothing is made of.
Okay. You know, Mr. Trump has, unfortunately for him, acknowledged in his own words that he believes he's under investigation. Comey would not confirm or deny that he was under investigation.
No, he denied in the Senate hearings that he was. Trump was upset because he would not publicly acknowledge what he was not investigating. But the news for months and months and months ran stories, Trump being investigated for Russia connections, Trump near indictment for Russia connections, Trump this for Russia connections, New York Times, WAPO, ABC, CNN, all out there frothing up the left. They're just days away from Trump going to be impeached. You already have dingbat congressman. You've got, what's his name, Al Green down in Houston, who's drawn up impeachment papers.
Absolutely.
Nancy Pelosi wants impeachment papers. Wingnut Maxine Waters wants impeachment papers. Who's the guy? Who's the congressman of the Valley? San Fernando Valley took over the seat that was combined when like the 23rd and the 24th were put together. He wants to draw up impeachment papers.
You're not thinking Brad Sherman.
Brad Sherman, thank you. Yes.
Okay. Good.
He wants to draw up impeachment papers too. So you got five or six congresspeople that want impeachment papers for what crime?
There are a number of crimes.
CNN? For basically listening to CNN?
No.
I didn't know that CNN had the power to indict.
They don't. But thankfully,
really, don't
thankfully
they?
Our media does.
They have been. They've been saying it for months.
No.
Well, they don't apologize when Comey calls them out for it.
What we have seen over the last couple of months, and this seems to be part of the MO of the Trump administration and Donald Trump himself, is that what we have seen is that they're conflating an investigation of Trump campaign ties to Russia, not an investigation of Mr. Trump himself. So,
first it was the campaign was collaborating, and they led to the Hillary defeat. By the way, hang on one second. Laguna Roundtable at KX935. Forgot to plug us. And Righty Jim with
Dr. Ari Grayson.
Just got to make sure we plug the show.
Oh, absolutely. We need to make sure that...
In case there's our wonderful listeners out there, they forgot what they're listening to. Just two guys ranting about Donald Trump.
No, not ranting. Establishing some very important points.
Well, first it was the whole Trump collaborated with the Russians to make sure Hillary didn't win. Then it was, there's back-channel communications and illicit communications. Well,
right.
The question was, because right now it's supposed to be the son-in-law was setting up back channels in December after the election,
right,
to speak with Russia.
He's a private citizen. So, he has no business establishing back channels to Russia.
He's Trump's son-in-law and part of the campaign.
Doesn't matter. He has no business trying to establish back channels. And let's just look at that
on the face. It's just communicating really back channels. Second of all,
why is he trying to establish secret channels?
But we don't know what this actually was. You're saying. this, and the CNN's saying this.
Oh, okay.
And WAPO is saying this, and all of the fake news is saying this.
Why do you have to try to disparage fake news when our
Well, I think fake news should be disparaged.
Okay.
Do you like fake news? Do you think this guy who shot Scalise was wound up by fake news?
These are legitimate,
no, they're not.
World-class, investigative, right. Journalistic organizations
with a political
that
agenda.
Are doing their job. They may well have a political agenda.
Do they
There's
apologize?
There's no question about no,
for their
nor
mistakes?
Should they.
Comey called them out and said they were lying. Comey said that Trump, he never investigated Trump for Russia connections.
No, CNN? Not Trump. Yes, but you have to listen to the FBI director's words carefully. Not investigating Trump. That does not mean he wasn't investigating his campaign.
True or false? CNN said Trump is being investigated.
Well, you know,
true or false? New York Times said that. True or false? WAPO said that. True or false? ABC's news said that. True or false?
Wow, if you were Kamala Harris, I would have cut off your tongue by now.
If you're Kamala Harris, I'm trying to run for president, and I'm a stand-up show-off, and that's a whole different problem.
There is, okay, we'll try and get Kamala in here another day.
I would love that.
I know you would.
I would actually give you $10 if you get her in here.
I will try, actually. I still know some folks in
we would love to have her. I mean,
on her team.
But I'm sure there's some reason she has to visit Southern California. I'm sure she's got money to collect in Laguna.
I don't want to stray too far from the point, though.
Well, but it all ties together with the fake news aspect.
Is our media sometimes inaccurate in the words that they use? Absolutely.
Does
There's
our
no
media
question
have
about
a political
that.
Agenda which they are trying to push?
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't.
Most of the time, the left
At the end of
does.
The day, though, yes, but you know what? They are supposed to be our political watchdog.
No,
and if
but they're not
means
supposed to have an agenda. They're supposed to be unbiased.
But if they're going after facts, if they're trying to
which
discern
Which they were not,
facts,
because Trump was not being investigated. And Comey clearly stated that.
Yes.
On CNN, on WAPO, on New York Times, on ABC.
Okay, allow me to finish.
Sure.
Yes. But what Mr. Tromey is, Comey, excuse me, what Mr. Comey.
Trump and Comey.
Yeah, I know. What Mr. Comey has said is that Trump is not being investigated, or at least while he was FBI director.
Are you trying to give me a very Clintonian parsing here?
But what he didn't say was that the Trump campaign team was not being investigated. When we look at some of what the Trump team has done during the campaign.
And when we look at the ABC, CNN, WAPO, New York Times, Trump being investigated for Russia connections.
Yes, the Trump team. So
no, Trump. Yes. Didn't say Trump team.
Yes, I understand that.
So they were wrong.
But
and
that
they didn't
does not
care because
mean
it pushed
they
an agenda.
Are fake news organizations.
They were in those cases. I'm not saying they're always fake news.
Okay.
But they were in those cases.
No, they were imprecise or they were incorrect in what they were the way they were phrasing it, but they were not incorrect
as to the
essence.
Did they retract their articles?
I'm not sure whether they did
no.
or did not.
But, it's taken but Sarah go, Palin 6 years to get a retraction.
But let's go back for a moment to what has brought us to this point.
Oh, Trump derangement syndrome was brought us to this point.
Not exactly.
Yes, exactly. But go
no,
ahead.
No, getting to this point is what has brought on Trump derangement syndrome. Because what we saw that in 2016 in the Republican National Convention, when they were putting together the party platform, Trump's team was lobbying and lobbying hard to reduce the verbiage on language verbiage in the language condemning Russia and having sanctions against Russia for their interference in American elections.
And the Democratic platform refused to put God in it. Okay, well, platforms aren't really
okay.
past the election.
I don't want to get sidetracked by what the Democrats did. We're talking about investigations into Trump and his behavior. So what we have seen is a pattern time and time again, where Trump is siding with the same organizational leadership, people like Vladimir Putin, who was a colonel in Soviet's KGB spy agency, people who Ronald Reagan called the evil empire.
Well,
why is Trump rolling over, laying on his back, and letting Putin do him? And doing so at the same time condemning and saying that our NATO alliance is anachronistic, that somehow we don't need it, that somehow it hasn't protected us. When we see people who had been condemning Barack Obama for not being strong enough when the Russians invaded the Ukraine, because the Ukrainians had the audacity as an independent people, at least until that time, to try and build relationships and economic ties with the economic European Union. Excuse me, I'm having trouble. With the European Union, why is time and time again, why is Donald Trump befriending Russia, failing to condemn them, failing to recognize the evil that they seek to sow in Europe and across the world, and condemning Germany, the United Kingdom, you know, go down the list, rather than being supportive of our traditional alliances? He is time and time again talking up Russia and belittling our friends.
Are you done? Okay.
Recently, Angela Merkel, after the
NATO summit?
The G7. Thank you. After within a couple of days after the G7 meeting, Angela Merkel declared that the Europeans can no longer count on the United States.
Yeah, well, Angela's got her own little problems because she's running for re-election.
But this is not fake news. So when you want to talk about
that, that's fine, sure.
When you want to talk about the frustration on the left, the anger on the left, when you have the Russians who by 17 intelligence agencies have declared that they tried to interfere in our 2016 elections. When you have 17 intelligence agencies coming out and making this statement, why is Mr. Trump siding again and again with the Russians?
It's interesting that you care about security agencies when they claim something about Trump, but when they're highly confident that at least five foreign intelligence services hacked Hillary Clinton's email server that had secure data on it that wasn't supposed to be there, that's not really important to you. But that's interesting that you kind of pick and choose when you want to listen to it. It's also interesting you pick and choose.
I'm not saying that the intelligence agencies weren't correct at that time also.
But it's interesting but you don't care about it happening. You're also interesting you pick and choose.
No, but
first of all, Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil empire.
Right.
And broke them, okay? This is not the Soviet Union.
And Donald Trump is fixing them.
No. This is Russia. This is not the Soviet Union.
These are the same.
You go ask Kazakhstan, they are not a Soviet republic anymore.
Yes.
They're an independent nation. Go ask Turkmenistan, they're not a Soviet satellite, they're an independent country. Go ask Latvia, they're not a Soviet country, they're an independent country. Okay, so right. It is a different time. Now, I will give you that Vladimir Putin said the saddest day of his life was the day the Soviet Union dissolved. And I know that he wants to put them back together. He doesn't have the money. He doesn't have the ability to do that. That notwithstanding.
Well, Donald Trump is giving him the ability because basically
he's conceding
the Ukraine.
Well,
looking at giving back some of the spy headquarters that they had. There were three properties that were seized during the Obama administration. And Trump is trying to figure out how to give it back.
You didn't think that maybe we've gone in there and kind of cleaned the place up and maybe put our own stuff in there and are going to give it back to them? Did that ever occurred to you? I would love to give it back to them if we've gone in there and basically put high-tech spying equipment in there. So now we can spy on them and find out what they're spying on us about. That sounds like counterintelligence to me. Sounds like a pretty bright move in my book. But hey,
okay.
You guys don't really think that far out. And it's interesting that a party that for so many years wanted peace with the Soviets, that adored the Soviets, Bernie Sanders adored them so much he went on his honeymoon to Russia in 1988 during the height of the Soviet Empire, okay? So why now all of a sudden, now the Russians are bad. Now the Russians are bad. You guys are trying to grasp anything. Look, I don't like Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin is dictator, okay? He's not a president. He is trying to restore the Soviet Union to its former glory. He doesn't have the money. He doesn't have the ability. And he's not going to be able to put 13 other states back together again. It's not going to happen, regardless of whatever fantasies and fears that the Democrats run on.
Well, but he has been trying to undermine the democracies of Europe.
He has an outcome of which he wishes to establish that requires the decentralization of NATO. Now, Trump, of course, is not doing the best to hold the NATO alliance together, but he is trying to make sure, as a business person, everybody pays their fair share of the NATO alliance. That's really what he wants. He has stated that he believes in the alliance. He wants it to stay together. He doesn't want it to dissolve. He doesn't want it to break up. Angela Merkel's got her own problem with a million Syrian immigrants who are out pillaging through Hamburg and various cities and is desperately trying to run for re-election. So she's got her own internal problems to deal with, which she's trying to make herself look like a more important person and kind of the sane voice amongst the Europeans, and trying to basically pull the Europeans together as the British are trying to leave and the French are getting blown up every other week by a terrorist, and 42 women are being raped a day in Hamburg or whatever because of the Syrian immigrants that are coming in there that are fake passported at all. Whole different show we can talk about later.
Okay.
So that's her own internal problem that she's dealing with, has got to put out her own political propaganda for her own political means. Trump, again, or Putin, not a good guy, you know. We'll have to see what happens. But there's this paranoia that goes on with the Trump derangement syndrome that there's a fix for this just around the corner. You don't really care that it's Putin and Russia. You just care that you think there's an angle in there to basically find a way to delegitimize Trump. That there's a way. If it was China, you guys would go full gusto that he and the Chinese premier were, gee, hanging out Mar-a-Lago together. Oh, wait a minute, they did hang out in Mar-a-Lago. Oh, but they're talking diplomacy. Sorry, I forgot about that part. You guys would do anything as long as there was a niche or a way or an angle to basically make Trump look bad. And that's what you're more concerned about than actually the fact that Putin is doing something. It's just that is your best angle to take a shot at Trump and try to delegitimize him, as the New York Times, as a CNN, as ABC, as WAPO has been trying to do. Where were they when it came to Barack Obama and the honeymoon? Okay? Where were they? Were they trying to, you know, did they care about anything Barack Obama? Heck no. Barack Obama, second coming of Christ. Man is the world's greatest president. He is so good that he should, in 48 days of being president, get the Nobel Peace Prize for those 48 days. I don't know what he did in those 48 days, but that made him worthy of a Nobel Peace Prize. The man is just an absolute wizard.
That had nothing. That was the Nobel Committee. That had nothing to do with
absolutely
with our knees.
But it was the whole mentality of the left.
No, but okay. First of all right. There's a lot that we can discuss there, and this is probably why we need a longer show. But in any case, you know, I don't think that it is simply when we're talking about the anger and the frustration on the left. First of all, there are a number of issues. If you want to talk about the media being an enemy of Donald Trump, there is nobody who is a bigger enemy to Donald Trump than Donald Trump. His own words, his own actions, his own deeds.
He doesn't try to shoot himself in the foot. The media does.
Well, he doesn't have to try. He seems to do that every time he opens his mouth or shoots out a tweet.
That's his problem. But the media is...
But when you fire the FBI director, ostensibly because... Well,
he was trying to investigate him. Oh no, he wasn't trying to investigate him.
Well,
so that whole fake news story goes down the tubers.
Trump himself said in a tweet that this was in an interview with Lester Holt on NBC, that he fired Comey because of the Russian investigation. So
right,
because
he wouldn't acknowledge that he wasn't being investigated.
It's not his responsibility to acknowledge publicly that he's not being investigated.
Trump wasn't happy. And by the way, Trump doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to be happy with the FBI director.
And he doesn't have to give a reason.
The FBI director
serves at the pleasure of the president.
Yeah,
if he wore a blue suit, he doesn't like, he can fire him.
But the displeasure of the president can't be an investigation that involves those around the president. When you are doing that,
Trump was being attacked by the liberal media with the fake news that he was being investigated. He knew he wasn't being investigated. Comey knew he wasn't being investigated, but Comey wouldn't stand up to the liberal media and say, look, you guys are lying. He's not being investigated.
No, Comey would not pledge his undying loyalty to Trump, and that's what Mr. Trump found most upsetting.
Well, that we don't really know, again, is something that actually happened because we don't have any documentation on it.
Well, but when you
talk
about...
We have one side of the conversation.
When you talk about Mr. Trump and you talk about threats to his administration and potential impeachment or removal from office, I think the bigger threat to Mr. Trump is actually going to be an emoluments violation. There was a suit this week filed by the District of Columbia and by the state of Maryland because of emoluments violations. We see things that have been done economically.
Need to explain that a little bit more to people.
Well, according to our founding fathers, they didn't want a president or a national leader to take any form of compensation.
And what exactly how is Trump being paid by a foreign nation?
Well, first of all, it's not just being paid, it's benefiting from them. So, for example, encouraging them to buy or to stay at his hotels
This is about his hotel business.
Absolutely.
So they're not personally paying Donald Trump.
No, but they're
doing business with a Trump company.
They're doing business with a Trump company, which is not in a blind trust. They know who is staying there. They know who is contributing.
Does Trump control those properties currently?
His family does. They're not in a blind trust.
Does the emoluments clause go to the family or to Donald Trump?
And he can take money from that.
Donald Trump part of the emoluments clause? Donald Trump is.
Donald Trump is not currently
benefiting.
He is absolutely benefiting. He is able to, well, that's what the courts are going to decide because he is absolutely benefiting. He is able to take money from
according
the Trump
organization. According to James Carville, I could get a ham sandwich indicted, okay? So anybody can file a lawsuit.
Okay.
I can file a lawsuit against you for being a Democrat.
But the emoluments violations?
No, the emoluments lawsuit, alleging violations.
The emoluments violations alleged in the lawsuit
are serious when
you have properties in Turkey and you're praising Turkey's dictatorship, then yes, that's a problem.
He's
when
a
you have properties.
So basically what you're saying is no one who's a business person with international business should be president.
Not according to the founding fathers and the Constitution of the United States.
You think the founding fathers understood international business as
absolutely.
It would be 200 years later?
They understood dictators and tyrants trying to influence politics in this country. That's what they understood first and foremost, and that's why the emoluments clause is there. What we've seen, though, in Trump is that, for example, he is using his presidency to personally benefit. At Mar-a-Lago, memberships doubled from $100,000 to $200,000. We have seen in Trump properties it's being reported.
That is illegal how? How is that illegal, to double the membership at the club he owns?
Because he is using his profile as president on his property and calling it the Winter White House.
I don't see how that exactly is illegal that he what's illegal about that
he is personally benefiting from his role as president, and that is potentially influencing his decisions on
did he
everything
state
from
that I'm
tax
raising
policy
the fees
to
because
foreign
I'm now
policy.
The president, therefore you have to pay more.
He doesn't have to say it. What we're also seeing is that Trump properties have gone, it was reported again this week, that from 4% undisclosed LLCs as to who the buyers are to 70%.
I understand what that is, but I don't understand what that means.
Instead of being able, if Jim Kennedy wanted to buy a Trump property, that would previously have been disclosed. At least in 96% of the cases, only 4% were undisclosed. Now that has jumped to 70%. Why have we seen a 4,000 or 3,500% increase in the number of people who are buying properties through Trump organizations or from Trump organizations? We're seeing a 3,500% increase. People who are doing so through LLCs and not disclosing who they are.
Gee, I couldn't imagine why that would be because of the Trump derangement syndrome, because the woman who walked into Starbucks and was mocked because she had a Trump T-shirt on, because of how much of the derangement has been put out there by the liberal media for anyone connected to Trump must be, in these days, shot literally if you're Steve Scalise. So, of course, they're doing it. I wouldn't blame them. It's a safety figure.
Okay, so we're seeing a 3,500% increase so that people can safely invest in a Trump property.
Yes, because they don't want their name disclosed because they don't know what's going to happen to them. Heck, if you're a CEO of a company, your board of directors would probably have you fired. They found out that you'd bought into a Trump property these days. I don't blame them.
They should be embarrassed for supporting Donald Trump.
Yeah. It's America, and we're free to do that.
Absolutely, they're free to do it.
You don't like it, unelect them in 4 years.
And they should be embarrassed to be associated with this
man. No, they shouldn't be. He's the president. They should have respect for him. Laguna Roundtable.
Just as the conservatives had respect for Barack Obama,
who made
it through 8 years without having to be indicted, who made it through 8 years without a major scandal, who made it through 6 Benghazi investigations.
Well, he wasn't
with a Republican
Benghazi.
Congress
that was a
and a Republican.
Because no one knows where he was the night of Benghazi. No one ever does.
Okay.
So he can't find out where he was. He won't tell. Other than he was sleeping because he had to go get an early fundraiser in Vegas. That's all that I know about.
Okay.
So that wasn't really about Obama. That was about Hillary. Laguna Roundtable, KX935. As you know, we bring you spirited conversation on these shows.
Man, it's a lot of energy for 8 to 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
I'm kind of an early riser, so it's not really a problem.
Okay.
Let's briefly talk about the California budget that was passed.
Sure we differ on this. We found so much agreement earlier today, Jim. I don't know how people are going to know.
It was your topic. Why don't you talk about it? I'm not exactly sure what you wanted to. Go into on this. I know there's lots of pork barrel money in there and shady finance when it comes to being able to somehow balance the budget in California. But
there was one key element that I saw in the California budget that jumped out at me that actually made me very pleased to be a Californian and to actually pay my taxes.
I'm going to cringe at this. What is it?
No doubt. There was a resolution to spend, there was $1.3 billion in new tobacco taxes that were approved by California voters.
That was an initiative.
$1.3 billion
in new taxes. Yeah, they've been fighting over who was going to get the money.
By voters last fall.
They're going to pay doctors to not leave the state or something?
Under the deal struck by Jerry Brown and the Democrats.
Bilateral.
More than one-third of that. Well, we have a supermajority in the Senate.
Yeah, the Republicans don't count in California.
$465 million of new revenue is going towards boosting payments for doctors and dentists who see patients on Medi-Cal and the government-subsidized health care program for the poor. I love the fact that they're taking the tax money that was generated by tobacco, something which is detrimental to our people's health. Yes, in a free society, you are welcome to inflict whatever health damage you wish on your own body. That's great.
And the Democrats are free to tax the living stuffing out of you.
Live and be well, but they are taking that to provide health care for people who need it and to make sure that doctors and dentists are not having to do the work or to see patients on Medi-Cal gratis. They're actually receiving compensation for their professional
services.
Shouldn't
they be receiving compensation because they're getting paid by Medi-Cal?
This is actually boosting the payment so that we have the funding for the increase.
You're bribing the doctors to do it now.
Not bribing the doctors. We're compensating them. We're paying people for their work.
Why weren't you compensating
them before?
Something
that the Republicans ought to believe in, paying people for their work.
Why weren't you paying them
before? I know that the Republicans in this state don't believe in a minimum wage and paying people for the work.
Well, that's
I know that they don't believe
more.
In paying farm workers overtime
economics
when they pick asparagus for us. But yes, paying doctors.
That's what Cesar Chavez took care of. By the way, we doctors, illegally immigrants.
Well.
Because they were migrant workers. They'd come in, they'd pick the crops and go home. Now they're illegals. Now they stay here. And take tax dollars out of the California system.
No, you know what? They actually contribute to our tax base.
No, they don't.
These guys work hard. They pay taxes. When they go to the grocery store, they pay taxes.
You're still not answering the question.
They always.
Go back to the doctors and dentists thing.
Yes.
So you're saying what, they were doing this for free before?
In some cases, they were not able to bill fully for their services, and they were limiting.
Why did socialized medicine not allow them to
bill? Because they didn't have the financial resources to pay them. So now we're seeing that we actually have appropriate funding in place for doctors and dentists to see patients and be compensated for the services
through Medi-Cal. So basically what you're proud of is the fact that more poor people can go to the dentist, not that we have fewer poor people. You guys like
those
the poor people.
No, those are separate issues.
Right.
We can reduce the number of people.
Why don't you put the money towards reducing poor people?
That's what we're working in order to maintain a living wage. That's why we're
that
working
doesn't reduce
to maintain,
poor people. That just increases the wages of everybody.
Well, no, that
and
affects
it reduces
poor
the value
people
of
also.
Education
somebody who
also.
Is making $10 an hour is poor in this country. So somebody who's making
$10
an hour.
$10 an hour? Because you've got 50 million illegal aliens who'll do the job for $5 an hour.
Ah.
To get rid of illegal aliens.
And who's hiring those illegal workers?
People in California.
Okay.
Because there's no government scrutiny.
Okay. And there should be.
And the people who do hire them should be busted for that. That is illegal.
All right.
I do not have a problem with that at all.
We're almost out of time. Let's make sure that there are two more things. One more important issue, and let's make sure we do our on the table. You have an on the table this week?
No, you didn't give me any skin for scheduling.
Oh, I sure have one, but there was one piece of local news.
Haven't you already had enough time on the table this morning?
Yes and no.
Okay. Yes, you've had more than enough. I'm
there's
sure there's
so
callers that would say,
"Hey, I haven't been in the studio for the last couple of weeks."
Well, that's
so.
Your problem, not mine. But
no,
sorry.
It's our viewers' problem because they had to listen. They had to listen.
Oh, you
just
want to talk about the Georgia
week.
Sixth?
Yeah, let's jump to the Georgia Sixth. Actually, as I mentioned in a previous broadcast, I was raised in the Georgia Sixth Congressional District, so I know it fairly well.
I'm sure you're finding a way to vote there too, knowing
it is a very conservative district. I spoke with
not as conservative as it used to be.
Well,
it was like a Trump plus six. It's not exactly. In fact, it might have been Trump plus four. It wasn't. It's not. It's become as the liberals have progressed out of Atlanta, the liberalization of it has increased. It used to be when it was 20 years ago when it was Newt's district, it was a solid Republican district, but it's becoming a less and less solid Republican district.
Well, hopefully that's going to become even less and less Republican in their
with
voting.
With Pajama Boy.
After John Ossoff wins on Tuesday,
yeah, that's not
going
to happen, Pajama Boy. I really love...
Well,
you want to elect a guy who doesn't even live in the district, who's getting, what, 92% of his money from outside of Georgia?
And that's due to the nature of the race. But let's address the fact that...
No, that's due to Hollywood, the fact that the Democratic
Party... Let's address
Party.
This nonsensical argument that he's not from the district. He was born and raised in the district.
Does his he live in the district currently?
Excuse me. He's not required to.
Does he?
His fiance? No. He does not live in the district currently. And the reason he doesn't live in the district currently is that his fiance is working on her doctorate at Emory University, which is just outside of the district. He moved so that she could get back and forth to her college program a bit more easily.
But,
he knows the district.
But how far does he live from the district?
Emory University is just a few miles out of the district.
So he can't move 5 miles.
Traffic in Atlanta can be a nightmare, and for
he can't
for whatever
move
reason,
5 or 6 miles. I believe he said he
doesn't
lives
matter.
6 miles.
You know what? He knows the district. He's born and he raised there. And
well, that makes
you
qualify living in California to run for the seat.
What makes me qualify?
I said it would make you just as qualified since you were born there. And you know the district, even though you don't live in the state anymore.
Right.
Why don't you run for the seat?
I have no interest in running in a Georgia congressional election.
Okay, just curious.
So, but in any case, but from what I'm hearing in the district is the polls are showing Ossoff leading from anywhere from 3 to 7%. The real key, and this is the key I think that people need to remember here in California as well, get out the vote. You've got to get out the vote. You've got to have the stellar ground
both
game
sides
in,
have
order
to get out
to,
the vote.
In order to win these kinds of elections. But we're almost out of time.
Maybe Hollywood just throw some more money at it. Maybe that'll help the problem.
Well, it's an important district. It's an important race, and we have to turn the Senate because we have to turn the House of Representatives.
That's not
going to
happen.
Because at the end of the day, we know that we need to hold this president accountable, and we are going to need to have a Democratic House of Representatives.
Because we didn't hold the last one accountable.
We need to have a Democratic House of Representatives in order to ensure that Mr. Trump is held accountable at every turn, because we see the Republicans, even those who condemned Donald Trump during the campaign as being unfit for president, who are lining up behind him and backing him rather than calling him out.
I don't think John McCain's lining up behind him. I don't think Marco Rubio's lining up behind
him. Well, Marco Rubio sang his praises this week.
I don't think John Kasich is lining up behind him.
No. Marco was singing his songs this week because he tried to roll back on the Cuba policy,
which is a good thing.
But I forgot
we should love our dictator brothers to the South.
But, yes.
Raul Castro. Humanitarian of the year.
We'll have another conversation another day. But
Bernie Sanders' compatriot.
But speaking of mental fitness.
Justin Trudeau could not say enough good words about Raul Castro.
Speaking of mental fitness.
About Fidel when he passed.
And what you call the Trump derangement syndrome.
Of the left, yes.
I do have an on the table today. And interestingly enough, it is called mental fitness. So I'm Ari, and I'm putting mental fitness on the table. Okay?
Go ahead.
This week, the LA Times had an op-ed. Is Trump mentally fit to be president? Well, in February, the New York Times published a letter signed by 35 psychiatrists, psychologists, and social workers. The letter suggested that Trump has, Trump demonstrates grave emotional instability that makes him incapable of serving safely as president. Well, we have the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, which was ratified in 1967, and it allows for removal of the president in the event that he is, quote, unable to discharge the powers and duties of the office. There's no clear definition as to what that means, and that's unfortunate. So the LA Times op-ed author, Prudence Gurgenshan, I believe it is, an MD.
That's a good Irish name.
A psychiatrist and psychoanalyst from Chicago looked into the U.S. Army's Field Manual 622 Leadership Development for some clues. And what she did was she distilled five crucial qualities of a leader from the Army's manual. The first of these is trust. According to the Army, trust is fundamental to the functioning of a team or alliance of any setting. Quote, leaders shape the ethical climate of their organization while developing the trust and relationships that enable proper leadership. A good leader demonstrates an understanding of another person's point of views and identifies with others' feelings and emotions. Second, discipline and self-control. Loyalty, duty, respect, self-service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. These are characteristics that a disciplined leader has to display. A disciplined leader can't show emotional outbursts or act impulsively, and they must maintain composure in stressful and adverse situations. A leader who fails to demonstrate discipline and reacts viscerally or angrily when receiving bad news or conflicting information is emotionally unprepared to serve as a leader of this country. Third, judgment and critical thinking. A leader with the capacity for critical thinking seeks to obtain the most thorough and accurate understanding possible. A leader deficient in judgment and strategic thinking demonstrates rigid and inflexible thinking. Fourth, self-awareness. Self-awareness requires the capacity and reflect an interest in doing so. Quote, self-aware leaders know themselves, including their traits, feelings, and behaviors. They employ self-understanding and recognize their effect on others. When a leader lacks self-awareness, the manual notes, he, quote, unfairly blames subordinates when failures are experienced and rejects or lacks interest in feedback. And finally, in fifth, a good leader demonstrates an understanding of another person's point of view and identifies with others' feelings and emotions. When a leader shows a lack of concern for others or emotional distress or displays an inability to take another's perspective, again, they are inappropriate for the job. They are ill-qualified to serve in that role. So to all of those listening, feel free to compare the observable behavior that list provides to the behaviors that Donald Trump has demonstrated. Traits need to be examined as critical for leadership. These have been done by the U.S. Army. And Donald Trump, in my view and in the view of so many mental health professionals, Donald Trump is gravely and seriously lacking. I'm Ari, and I just put mental fitness on the table.
And that was brought to you by the Kamala Harris 2020 campaign. All right, folks, this is Laguna Roundtable, KX935. We'll be back next week. Up next, Full English Breakfast, Jason Fetty. Have a great Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, and it would be my father's birthday tomorrow. I miss you. Have a good day, everybody.
Take care.